My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
In Antony and Cleopatra, Act Two, Shakespeare writes, "Give me my music playing far off."
No such luck for you, we're nearby.
In fact, we're here. John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton.
Isn't the next line the character says, "Ho, let's to billiards"?
Maybe a better idea. Who
puts
knows?
Puts music in its place.
Yeah. John, a question for you. A certain violinist. A tricky sonata by one Prokofiev. According to a Times music critic, John, that player, and I quote, "hunches himself over his violin like a panther ready to spring. He plays with twists and turns that look like a danger to health and stability, and he finds time to urge on the orchestral violins with grunts and grimaces." Who does?
Grunts and grimaces.
The initials are G, a K.
Ah, Gidon Kremer.
Gidon Kremer. Kremer, I'm told. So. Gidon Kremer it is. Yes, that's right. Playing that Prokofiev Sinatra. Good. Frank, whenever I really fall for a piece of music, it seems to me that the scholars get together and decide that it wasn't written by him at all, but by somebody else entirely. Voice of Marilyn Horne singing Bach's "Bis du bei mir," except that now apparently it may not be by Bach.
By being "Bis du schön."
Well, it's a bit like it, isn't it? But misattributed works, Frank. Many examples in music, and I imagine not only in music, perhaps in literature too.
There are misattributed lines, aren't there, in literature? It's rather interesting the way lines are attributed to people. Untruly, but they fit them so well that they happily slide onto them.
And dirty rat.
I was really thinking of literature, yes. In the sense of Sidney Smith's line about his idea of paradise was eating pâté de foie gras to the sound of trumpets.
Is that not genuine?
Well, no, because it isn't. Oh. Even in the book from which it comes, it says, "My friend -dash-dash-dashes definition of paradise is and his friend was Luttrell, and W.C. Fields, "No man who hates dogs and animals can be wholly bad," you know, wasn't said by him. It was said by Leo Rostam, wasn't it, Dennis? Yeah. Wasn't it Leo Rostam?
Leo Rostam was introducing
W.C. Fields at an after-dinner speech. And it so suits Fields that it slipped gently onto
him. Well, yeah.
But one of the most famous is, you know, the Rossini-Katz duet.
Yeah.
It's not by Rossini.
Not by Rossini, another one, yeah.
It's by an Englishman called Purcell.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
But you said it spoils your enjoyment of it. Why does it spoil your enjoyment of it?
Oh, no, I shouldn't have said that quite, should I? I mean, it sort of cast out, I always loved Bach's "Bis du bei mir," and it's not Bach's anymore, it's somebody else's, that's all. It's sort of a kind of hiccup. Mm. A piece of music next for both Ian and Dennis. And in the original key, too. Ian, first of all, what is it and what's it from? Rather a long way from.
Yes, it's the barcarolle from the Tales of Hoffmann.
Thank you, yes it is.
Yes.
Originally a goblin's song in a failed opera of almost 20 years before. I don't think either of us knew that until I looked it up.
I certainly didn't know that.
Then it's whose version did we hear, and with the aid of a piano clue from me, where was he born? Here's the clue.
Oh, I can answer that bit, yes. That's... That's apparently either Shenandoah or I Love Your Waters.
Yes, he was born in Shenandoah, Pennsylvania, but the Shenandoah River's in Virginia. Right, who was he?
I don't know. The man who sort of specialised in doing those swing versions of that kind of music was Freddie Martin, but it didn't have that sound.
Freddie Martin would have been on a tenor saxophone. That was a trombone.
Yeah, well, was it Tommy Dorsey?
Yes,
was it
the Song of India, man. Yeah. Yes, Tommy Dorsey's Barcarolle. Yes, you got that. Song references, song words. John, Ira Gershwin, as we know, managed to get the British Museum into a song lyric. Who put the Crystal Palace into a song?
You're the sun on the Crystal Palace.
That's
you're
right.
The script
so it was
of a film by Arliss.
Yes. So it was who? Who was the lyric writer?
You're the top.
Yes, the lyric writer.
Cole Porter.
Ah, thank you, yes. Frank, talking of Ira Gershwin, as I was, which of his songs asks, am I the moth or flame? Am I the moth or flame? I'm all at sea.
Da 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 da. But not for me.
But not for me. Yes, thank you. We made it.
But
not for me. Ian, from an opera, though it really hardly sounds like it. Sorry, Miss Pike, punctured me bike.
I think there's only one opera. Well, that's a stupid answer to say there's only one opera it could have come from.
But I think there is only one.
But that's from, surely, Albert Herring.
Yeah, that's right. The Rosier de Madame Husson. Fernandel in a French film played that part, and then Britain made it into an opera. Albert Herring. Dennis, a very classy tune and a better than average lyric, I think. Can you place the line, "This is all I beg of you"?
I think we've gone from herring to flounder. I can't
it's
place
tough,
it.
It's
no.
tough, so I'll play yes, you yes. The, just that bit of the line on the piano.
Don't take your love from me.
This is all I beg of you, don't take your love from me. It's strange how the same notes, when clothed in different rhythms, can disguise themselves. Take these five notes. John, what are they called in this form?
Very good on the piano, isn't it?
I used to have a lovely record of Bing Crosby singing that.
What is it?
Angels guard thee.
Angels guard thee.
And it's by the man who makes that silver polish. Godard.
Yes. Verses de Jocelyn by Godard. And also on the record by Bing Crosby, and I may add it's no longer available, so don't write to me, was a violinist.
Right. Yasha Heifetz.
Yes.
And on the other side is Where My Caravan Has Arrested.
Yes. And that's not available either.
No. A wonderful record.
Yeah. Frank, same notes, jazzier rhythm.
An ironic thing to say at this time in the nation's history, but it's we're in the money.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Ian, the same five starting notes, but now called...
Dennis is smiling at me with that look as if to say,
I'm smiling at the thought that the way some disc jockeys used to be in a very classy way, used to announce that as Samphony.
Symphony, your side got it, yes. Dennis, those three tunes I just played, what have they in common?
You couldn't think of a fourth one then.
Thank you. Hang about. I could kid you.
No.
They're not the same notes. What have they in common, those three?
Well, they all appeared on My Music on the same evening, and they have the same five starting
exactly.
notes.
Exactly. Which notes are they? If you take me on, mate, you're going to get it straight back.
Yeah, those five notes that don't fit I Remember You, yeah.
Yes, that's right. Fair enough. In one of J.L. Carr's delightful mini-booklets, I read that, I quote, a photo of him stuffed may be seen in the Tunbridge Wells Museum. So, a photo of whom stuffed, I wonder? Any offers?
George the Fourth.
Photo of George the Fourth. Stuffed.
Oh, he's fond of Tunbridge Wells.
Well, I'm fond of George the Fourth, and I don't think there's a photo.
Did anybody photograph him?
Did anybody stuff him? But who knows? These things are kept from us.
Any nominations?
Please, sir.
Yes, sir.
Could it not be that celebrated anonymous correspondent, outraged?
Outraged? Outraged of Tunbridge Wells, who ought to be stuffed and put in the museum there.
And it's not him who's there, it's a photograph. He still wishes to remain anonymous.
I thought he was of Leamington Spa, but he's of Tunbridge Wells.
No, it's his brother in Leamington Spa.
It's a terribly good
Apparently, when Roy Rogers' horse Trigger died, Roy Rogers had Trigger stuffed and keeps him in his dining room. And apparently when Dale Evans ever feels unwell, she also looks rather apprehensive.
Does anybody in the audience actually know who appears stuffed in Tunbridge Wells Museum?
I'll bring a rush of business
not
to
who
Tunbridge
appears
Wells.
Stuffed. Don't
lots it's of people appear stuffed in Tunbridge Wells.
Well, I'll tell you who he is. Or at any rate was at the time that was written, presumably still there. His name's Nipper. He's the dog in the gramophone advertisement, his master's voice, the American Victor trademark, HMV. It's Nipper, the dog.
Woodhouse says of the Reverend Topping, is it, that he looks as if he'd been hastily stuffed by an incompetent taxiderm. Lovely phrase.
Back to some music. Alfred Einstein called it perhaps the most beautiful solo with accompaniment that has ever been written for the flute.
Perhaps.
Dripping tap.
From Mozart's D major flute quartet, played there by William Bennett. But there are other contenders among flute themes, I think, for the most beautiful. I would nominate perhaps this. Richard Aidney, in whose concerto, John?
Malcolm Arnold?
Yes, isn't that beautiful?
Malcolm Arnold,
lovely tunes that man writes. For example, in his guitar concerto.
Malcolm Arnold never published that guitar concerto.
Really?
It's crazy, because it's such a beautiful piece. It's been recorded a couple of times.
Frank, your comments on a remark that Malcolm Arnold made in a television interview. Music, he said, is an act of friendship.
Oh, nice. It's a terribly typical thing. Malcolm Arnold, in fact, is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And he is the most friendliest of men.
Yes. It's a lovely remark.
Gregarious.
Music is an act of
It's not true, unfortunately, I don't think. I think it's true, because wherever Malcolm Arnold goes, he spreads friendliness. But, I mean, Wagner isn't friendly music. And music out of place, like Loud on the Beach, or isn't friendly. You know, it's not a general mark, but I think as Malcolm meant it, it's absolutely true. Mm. The act of composing is giving something that's a friendly
that
gift.
Concerto was an act of friendship.
The guitar.
Richard Aidney said, I don't get enough concertos. What can I do? So I said, well, why don't you ask somebody to write you one? Why don't you ask your pal Malcolm? He said, oh, that's an idea. Mm.
Yes, that's the flute concerto. Concerto for flute and strings I played a bit of earlier on. Yeah. Change of subject. Ian, perhaps you wouldn't mind coupling up with Dennis to answer this question. It's a rather odd bit of movie history. For a certain epic film, Malcolm Arnold was approached to write the dramatic music, Walton to compose the theme, and Khachaturian to do the desert music, as it was called. In the event, Arnold and Walton both turned it down. They said the film didn't need any music. Who eventually composed the score? What was the film called? And who was its director?
I suppose as there was the desert music, it was Lawrence of Arabia.
It was indeed, yes. Do you know who wrote the theme?
Miss Maurice Jarre.
Maurice Jarre, that's right.
And David
Lean. Director David Lean. In one of our earlier My Music programmes, there was some memorable singing. I thought perhaps a key word or two might lead you to name the song in question. So I want the name of the song, please. What makes it a little different from our usual sort of question is that the singers concerned were Messrs. Wallace, Muir, Norden and Amis. John, this was Ian singing almost the last line of a very sweet song. Which song?
You see, is...
You get it, Frank.
sort of quarter.
Anybody in the audience got it? Yes, she's... You see, is she's my love... See, so
she's
lovely
so lovely
to me. Yes, she's my lovely.
She's my lovely.
You did not get it. See how you get on, Frank. Frank, your neighbour, John, is not to offer any help as you try to identify his bit of a song.
I'm not asking any miracle.
That's not him, is it? Stella Reese.
Yes. I'm not asking any miracles, he's saying.
He said what?
I'm not asking any miracles.
Well, you are, the moment of me.
Can you give us the next couple of lines, John? I'm not asking any miracles.
I know what it's from. Ta-da, ba-bum.
It can be done, it can be done, or something like that, isn't it, the line?
Yes, it's because I heard Twiggy sing it in New York.
Yes, now,
better than
my
I
one
did.
And only.
That's it, my one and only. You've got it.
Thank you for Twiggy.
Yes.
Whom you don't resemble.
You're so unkind.
No. Ian, that particular week, Dennis had a song which I described as ultimately the only really genuine love song that's ever been written.
My photo's on my shelf.
Or is it, I love myself?
I love me, I'm wild about myself, yes. Dennis, the very first two notes of Frank's song that particular week were especially memorable.
When the...
It sounds like when the midnight choo-choo leaves for Alabama in very low gear.
When the deep purple falls.
That's right.
Yeah, it did no distance to fall down
there.
I never know what key Steve is going to set it in until we actually start.
No, you never know which octave to sing in, Frank.
Well, we'll see, because we're back live now, so to speak, for this week's singing. Random question. Do any of you know who wrote a novel called Pomp and Circumstance? Just for interest? Who?
Noel Coward.
It was Noel Coward, yes. Noel Coward. Well, Noel Coward, Trad, Carn and Whiting and Henry Mancini, they're the composers responsible. The singers responsible are Mrs. Muir, Amos, Wallace and Norden. Frank, now give us Poor Little Rich Girl.
Poor little rich girl, you're a bewitched girl, better beware. Laughing at danger, a virtuous stranger, better take care. The life you lead lets all your nerves a-jangle. Your love affairs are in a hopeless tangle. Though you're a child, dear, your life's a wild typhoon. In lives of leisure, the craze for pleasure steadily grows. Cocktails and laughter, but what comes after, nobody knows. You're weaving love into a mad jazz battle, playing by Pontoloon. Poor little witch girl, don't drop a stitch too soon.
The song John's chosen for this particular week is one of those that he likes to sing without accompaniment, it being a folk song, and therefore not basically suitable for piano backing. It's Fond Chloe.
It's a very strange song because it starts on, sorry to be technical, a flattened seventh, which is rather unusual, because it fools you as to where the key is going to end up. It goes... Now the starlight only lights thy lover lonely, since the moon has wandered far away, brightening other billows, whitening other willows, lighting other rovers, so they say. Then to earth's amazement from thy casement, o'er the climbing roses love incline, till the golden sunlight, till the silver moonlight, in thy glowing glances seem to shine. Ah, my love is sleeping, all her senses steeping, in Elysian fountains fast a-swoon. Hush, my harp, thy rapture, if thy chord would capture Chloe's dreaming fancy, change the tune.
A lovely song. 1927 was the year, only yesterday, Dennis, when this song first saw the light of Tin Pan Alley. Okay.
There's one little girl who loves me, one little girl who don't. One little girl is blue when we part. Why should the other be first in my heart? There's one little girl who'll have me, one little girl who won't. Why can't I care for the one girl who loves me instead of the one who don't?
Ian, my huckleberry friend, would you mind hanging about for 32 bars while I just sketch out the tune we're going to do?
It'd be a pleasure. Thank you.
in you in style someday.
At the end of our music quiz charade, or charade, we have, I see, a final score showing a victory this week for John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.